Okay, good evening, ladies. I want to thank you for having me here this weekend to share with you. Thank you, Emma and team, for inviting me. Before we begin, I just want to take a few moments just in quiet prayer. If we could each just take some time to bow our heads. Like Emma mentioned earlier, sometimes it's been a busy time getting here. And God was just reminding me over and over again, I'm not the most confident speaker, although the Lord has opened many doors for me to be able to speak through the years, but it's not my comfort zone, and you'll notice. So I know there's been some amazing speakers here in the past, but God was reminding me, since Emma asked and I agreed to come, that I'm not the speaker tonight. God's the speaker, and thank you for your patience with me, and I'm just going to share my heart. I'm more of a sharer, maybe, if we can think of it that way, but tonight, let's just take a little bit of time now to quiet our own hearts before the Lord, and just really ask Him to speak to us, and that He'll just take my little and make much of it for His glory's sake. Lord, we want to thank you with all our hearts. God, we thank you that we can be here in this place at this time to hear the things that you want us to hear. Lord, to experience you. God, thank you for the amazing worship, Lord, that we've already been able to take part in. Lord, thank you for the fellowship that's been taking place, Lord, since the ladies arrived and even as they traveled, some of them together to get here. Thank you for bringing each one here safely. Thank you for Emma and everyone who has worked so hard, Lord, to just prepare this place. Lord, this place where we come with expectant hearts, God. Hearts that want to just grow in faith, love you more, Lord. Experience everything that you want us to experience. So give us ears to hear. Lord, give us hearts, Lord, to understand, to receive what you want to give. And Lord, eyes to see around us too. Lord, as we journey together, Lord, that we would really minister to one another this weekend as well. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. So many of you do not know me, and some of you do. I'm so blessed to already know some really amazing ladies here today, and I look forward to meeting more new friends as we spend the weekend together. But mostly, I'm excited for God to be here with us and for His Holy Spirit to encourage us as we focus on our Savior and on the gift of His Word. Wow, what a treasure we have. And this weekend is a special set-apart time when we get to focus on Him together, where we get to worship Him and dig a little deeper into His Word. My hope and prayer is that we will meet with Him over this weekend more than anyone else. That we will fall even more in love with Jesus than before. Vance Havergal defines revival as falling in love with Jesus all over again. So I know that we are going to have a lot of fun over the next few days, but I'm grateful that we can also enjoy feasting on some really good, solid, biblical truth that convicts us and inspires us to love God more deeply and to imitate Jesus more closely. I guess now I was going to introduce a little bit of myself, so this might be just a repeat, but in the form of an introduction, I'm blessed to be a wife to my husband, Jeff, and a mom to six precious children, Anna, Caleb, Matt, Liz, Kezi, and Micah. They are mostly all grown up now and range in age from 16 to 31. They're each a great joy to us and a gift from God. Jeff and I have been married for just over 32 years, and by the grace of God, we have been serving in full-time ministry together for 30 of those years. Jeff was a pastor for about 15 years, and we have now served as missionaries with Faith Mission Canada for over 17 years, encouraging individuals and churches in the areas of prayer, revival, and evangelism. A portion of my talks throughout this weekend will be about the vision of the Faith Mission and why Jeff and I love and share the heart of this little mission with 17 missionaries serving full-time across Canada and approximately 60 workers in the UK. Would that be about right? I hope and pray that our time together will be an encouragement to each of you. To start with, I'd like to ask you, and maybe you could just raise your hand, how many of you have heard or read about the Faith Mission before today? So pretty, a lot, okay. Now, how many ladies here have served with the Faith Mission in either Canada or the UK? If you've been a missionary with the Faith Mission, lift your hands high, ladies. Okay, and how many have served as a volunteer or in connection with the board or as part of a prayer union? Okay, nice. Well, where we come from, both places that we served in both Saskatchewan and Alberta with the Faith Mission, hardly anyone would have heard of Faith Mission Canada. And so this is really exciting to see that so many of you have heard or read about or been part of Faith Mission. And so I just want to take just a couple minutes where you could talk amongst yourselves, either the person next to you or behind you, and just maybe ask that person how they came to know about the Faith Mission or what's their involvement with the Faith Mission. Thank you for sharing with one another. And for those of you who do not know, and maybe just as a refresher to those who do, the Faith Mission began in Glasgow, Scotland, all the way back in 1886. That's 139 years ago, almost as old as Canada's Confederation date, which is 158 years ago. The Faith Mission is an international evangelistic ministry that was born in prayer and developed in the atmosphere and experience of true revival. Now we're going to talk again. So you can talk amongst each other again. I want you to share what you think your, what you would describe revival, how you would describe revival, or if you have a favorite definition of revival. And if you don't know what revival is at all, then you can ask somebody in the crowd. You're at a Faith Mission event, and sometimes we just don't know the history or the heart of a mission. And so I just really want to set that foundation. And I also am going to be just talking about how that kind of ties into how my husband and I came to be at, with the Faith Mission. So I'm just going to repeat that again. The Faith Mission is an international evangelistic ministry that was born in prayer and developed in the atmosphere and experience of true revival. It was a spiritual movement that quickly spread over much of Scotland and Ireland and later to parts of England. Repeatedly throughout its history, there have been blessed and powerful movements of the Spirit of God. It is a biblical ministry, and missionaries were taught the importance of knowing and teaching the whole counsel of God, because we believe that it is God's word alone that meets every need of the human heart. Along with evangelism, heaven-sent revival has been the prayer burden of faith missionaries from the very beginning until now. It is exciting to read about revivals of the past for sure, but we continue to pray to the Lord, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Isaiah 64:1-2. Early faith missionaries sought to bring the gospel to the most spiritually neglected villages of Scotland. They would stay in these villages, pray and visit, inviting people to attend the gospel meetings. Although this was hard, with many challenges, people came to those meetings and they met with Christ, surrendering their lives to him. At the end of the first year, the young missionaries could testify that God had supplied all their needs and that 2,000 people had professed salvation. Wow, can you imagine? What a fruitful year of ministry. A few years ago, I met a senior lady at our church in Red Deer, Alberta, who had lived in the UK as a girl, and she became a Christian through hearing the gospel while attending some Faith Mission children's meetings. It was just before her family had moved to Canada, and she was staying at her granny's house in a small village. It was so fun to hear her testimony and to rejoice with her in God's goodness and grace as she shared her story of salvation with me and how God had used the work of the Faith Mission all those many years ago. The Faith Mission was started by a man named John George Govan. He was a young businessman who was supremely conscious of the love of God and of the darkness and dire need of men and women who were separated from that love by sin. He was praying for lost souls and asking God to clearly direct him. And on October 14th, 1886, by faith, he wrote in his diary, "The Faith Mission started." The name Faith Mission reflects the fact that the mission was founded on a principle of absolute dependence on God for every need. The mission operates debt-free, depending only on God to supply every need. The purpose of the mission was and is, first, to be a channel to intentionally spread the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Soul winning is the primary work of the Faith Mission, and the founder once stated, "Unless it continues to be a soul-saving agency, it doesn't deserve to exist. This is the first aim in all our efforts. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise," Proverbs 11:30. "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever," Daniel 12:3. A second aim of the Faith Mission is to see professing Christians so in love. With God and his word, and deeply blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, to see believers and churches revived and glorifying God. That's why we have events like this. That's why there's a women's conference. We want to see people rejoicing in him. And it is safe to say that the Faith Mission was born in the fires of revival and spiritual awakening. The early years of the mission's history are marked by numerous and significant revivals that literally shook the villages of Great Britain and Ireland. In 1950, Dr. Graham Scroggie, I don't know if I said his right, name right, but observed, "Throughout two generations and over widespread areas, they, Faith Mission workers, have lit the fires of revival." The most well-known of those revivals is known as the Lewis Awakening, which took place from 1949 to 1952 on the island of Lewis. If you haven't read about that revival, there's a great book that you should definitely purchase called Channel of Revival. I don't know, do we have any on the book table?
I don't know if there's any more.
Okay, talk to Tim.
I don't know if there's any more.
Oh, in print.
I don't think it's in print anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we love giving that book out. Sorry that it's not in print anymore, but it is a really good book if you can ever get a hold of one called Channel of Revival. But there are other books back there about revival. We love giving that book out to people, and it's had a really huge impact on many hearts. But you could even read about the Lewis Revival on the internet. So a third aim is to see believers interested and excited in his work everywhere, that they would pray and give and present themselves a living sacrifice for his service wherever and however he leads. So it was in 1927, 98 years ago, that a call was received from Canada to Scotland asking for help. A pastor not far from here in Toronto at the time had a great burden for lost souls and to reach the surrounding rural areas in Ontario. So three ladies agreed to leave their homeland, and they were sent over from the existing Faith Mission in the UK. These faithful ladies came and braved the elements to share the gospel with many as they held evangelistic crusades in and around Markham, Thornhill, and Maple. God blessed these ladies as they shared the gospel, and God was saving people from their sin, and many surrendered their lives to him as they put their trust in Christ alone. After people were saved, discipleship followed, and prayer unions were started. The work in Canada grew and spread to other provinces as well. Now, almost 100 years later, the work continues, and the headquarters for the mission is located right here in Campbellville at this very camp and conference center. What a faithful God we serve. There's also a camp and conference center in Falkland, BC, near Vernon. There are 17 missionaries serving full-time with Faith Mission across Canada, and we are now located in Ontario, BC, Alberta, and Quebec. Some key verses for Faith Mission Canada are, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you," Matthew 6:33. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And 1 Corinthians 9, 16 to 18, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, for if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Our heart is to passionately support the local church and believers through various ministries, to encourage prayer and holiness of life, and to recognize it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And as a mission, we desire to serve and encourage individuals and churches in these three areas: prayer, revival, and evangelism. In evangelism, we believe it's a responsibility that has been laid on the church, on us as believers, to take the gospel to every person. And as a mission, we seek to come alongside the church to assist in whatever way we can to help and encourage in this calling. We are thankful for the opportunities that God has given us and continues to give us to share about Jesus with others. And we have many wonderful stories of how God has been and is at work in hearts and lives all around Canada and for us in Central Alberta. I think that we can all agree that Canada is a mission field. And every week, my husband and I talk to people who have not ever heard the gospel or who are confused about the things that they have heard about God and about the Bible. Sadly, the Word of God is no longer taught in the majority of our schools, and the enemy has used much of television, movies, and the internet to twist the truth and to sell lies that many have bought into. A survey done not long ago stated that a declining share of Canadians identify as Christians, while an increasing number are claiming that they have no religion at all. As we talk and share with many lost people, we see the truth of that very statement. It is sad, but it is true. Many parents, even some who grew up in Christian homes, are saying that they don't want to raise their kids in any religion at all. They don't want to take them to church, but that they want them to grow up and decide for themselves. That should bring us to our knees, that so many of our children in our nation are being spiritually neglected and abandoned. It is easy to lose hope when we look at the statistics and we see so many lost and hurting around us. But we need to remember our God and that nothing is too hard for him. I think it is much like what John George Govan saw in his day in Scotland. God opened his eyes and gave him a burden for lost souls and a vision for a gospel-driven mission. I share all of this so that we too will pray for that burden and so that we are reminded of how God can take ordinary people like a businessman or any of us and cause us to seek him in prayer, to cry out to him to be filled with a love for the lost, to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us and to give us wisdom and boldness to share his glorious gospel. Only God has the power to save, and he invites us to be part of his work in people's lives. Canada needs praying women. Please pray along with us for full, entire families to come to Christ. Our country and our world need God so desperately, and we cannot close our eyes to this reality. We need to be awakened. We need to get desperate and deliberate in our prayers and in our actions. One young man who we know said that he grew up in an atheist home in Alberta, so he never heard the gospel till he was about 26 years old. Nobody from his school, community, or work had ever invited him to church or even asked him anything personally about God before that time, 26 years. He didn't even know that he could just walk into a church without being invited. and nobody had ever invited him or even talked to him about God. He said that he began to wonder about God and about religion, but didn't really know where to go, so he just walked into a Chapters bookstore and hung out in the religious aisle, hoping that a Christian would come into that aisle and talk to him about God. He was just hoping to meet a Christian and just hoping that they would invite him to their church. Another time we shared the gospel with a man who was working in the oil field industry, and at first he was very strong in responding that he only believed in science, and that he said that he wanted to let us know that he definitely had no interest or need of God. But the more we talked and asked questions, he began to open up, and we had the opportunity to share our testimonies with him. Then the tears started to come to his eyes, and he poured his heart out to us about the struggles that he and his family were going through at the time. And we had opportunity to pray for him and to pray with him. And when we left, he just said, "You know, this day started out as so depressing." And he said, "It's ended up to be the best day ever." And he said, "Thank you for asking me personally about what I feel about God and for listening to me." No one had ever shared with him personally about having a relationship with Jesus and what that could look like. He was in his late 30s. So why is the church so silent? Another man who Jeff met at Tim Hortons and sat down with to share about the Lord was very apprehensive at first. He was a tall man and looked really tough, but he agreed to let Jeff sit with him and talk to him about Jesus. By the time that Jeff was leaving, this guy stood up so excitedly with tears in his eyes and just picked up my husband, kept picking him up and down, up and down. He was a big guy. And just saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." We have so many stories like this of thankful people, people hungry for truth. There are also some people through the years, however, who became annoyed or angry and who really didn't want to hear the good news at that time. But the majority of people who we have ever asked if we could share with were willing to talk and listen. And by God's amazing grace, many of those people have become Christians and are walking with God today. The lie that Satan wants all Christians to believe is that people do not want to hear or talk about God, and that we are offending them by doing so. Yet the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has set eternity in the human heart. I believe that in every human soul is a God-given awareness that there is something more past this life, and that we have a creator. We have a divinely implanted awareness that the soul lives forever, and that this world is not our home even before we become Christians. So we can know for sure that when we talk to people about God, there is an eternal longing in their souls, even if they don't recognize it yet. God made us that way, and we do not know who he is drawing to himself or when. Only he knows that. Our calling is to be faithful and to have the same heart as our good Father. 1 Peter 3:9 tells us that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises. Some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. I am very grateful for the people who prayed and were courageous enough to share the gospel with my family and with Jeff's family too. 1 Peter 2:10 says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." My mom was a fearful pregnant teenager riding in a city bus in 1971. She was full of anxiety, wondering who would love her and her baby, when God sent a kind elderly man who walked up to her, smiled, and gave her a pamphlet that said on the front of it, "You are loved." He said, "Miss, you look like you really need this." And he was right. God led him to her. On the inside of this pamphlet, was the greatest message of all, the gospel. My mom received that gift from him. Though she didn't become a Christian until many years later, she always kept that gospel tract because when that man gave it to her, she had been feeling so alone, so unloved, and so hopeless. She did see it as a sign that there was a God who saw her and that just maybe he cared and that he loved her and the baby that she had just decided to keep rather than abort. And that baby was me. 11 years later, she gave her life to Jesus. But this man, through his obedience to the Lord, had planted a seed in my mom's young heart a whole decade earlier. I don't know his name, but the summer before my mom died, she showed me that little tract, and she reminded me of how much that act of obedience had meant to her and of how important it is to keep on sharing the gospel. We just never know. My sweet grandma came to Christ because of my aunt's boyfriend's mom, who loved Jesus, and she wasn't afraid of talking about her Savior to others. Her name was Edith. Her son was killed in a tragic car accident, and she was given the news of his death while in the hospital, having just been diagnosed with cancer. My grandma went to see her in the hospital to encourage her, and when she walked into Edith's room, my grandma said it was like walking into the presence of God. She found Edith sitting up in her bed with her Bible open on her lap. She was smiling with tears running down her face. She had God's peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, even while in physical pain and extreme emotional pain after losing her son so suddenly. Edith was brokenhearted, and yet she had peace and joy in her brokenness. She talked to my grandma about her faith, about her Savior. And she talked to her about Jesus and how God was her comfort and her strength. She said that she knew that she could trust him to take care of her in the deepest, darkest valleys. My grandma wept with Edith that day, having been the one who was encouraged and changed. She knew that she wanted and needed what Edith had, a personal relationship with Jesus, and she got it. We are all so thankful for Edith and for her testimony that affected our entire family and for generations to come. My husband Jeff was living in a wealthy area in Calgary as a boy. On the outside, his family looked wonderful. They were successful and living the North American dream, a beautiful family, great career, gorgeous home, and lots of money. But inside their home, there was fighting and lots of talk about divorce. Their neighbors didn't know anything about that, but a doctor and his wife on the block were Christians, and they were praying for their neighborhood. One day, Jeff's family received a knock on their door by this couple inviting his parents to come to a Bible study. They accepted that invitation, and that's where they learned about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and they started following him. They learned that they could be forgiven for their sins and that they could trust Christ as their Savior. They learned how to forgive one another and how to start over again with God as the head of their home and Christ as their foundation. We are thankful for faithful, courageous neighbors who loved enough to pray and to reach out. Years later, Jeff's dad would be my first Sunday school teacher. Just a funny story about those neighbors. When Jeff's dad told his mom that the neighbors had invited them to a Bible study, Jeff's mom said, "Well, I'm not going." And he said, "I don't know about you, but I'm going." And so she didn't want to go there. She'd never read the Bible or anything. And she didn't want to go there not knowing the Bible. So she read the whole Bible before she went. And then when she went, she smoked. And so during the Bible study, she lit up her cigarette, and suddenly she said, "The poor people," she said, "when I look back now, I just think," like, to her, she just thought everyone smoked in their house, and they didn't say, "Oh, put out that smoke," or anything. They ran around looking for something. They came with, like, a soup bowl for her, and she said they just loved them and taught them the Word of God. While in university, I was greatly impacted by a young couple who moved into the fourplex owned by my grandparents. They loved Jesus so much, and they spent hours talking to me about surrendering to him and loving him completely, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. They shared how living for Jesus is the best life to live. I'm thankful that they were real and that they didn't hold back about their faith, because I was really struggling at that time in my own faith, and the things that they shared were just what my heart was longing for and what I needed to hear. That was a real turning point in my life. Because of them and their sincere love for the Lord and boldness to share the truth, I went to Bible school and experienced personal revival myself. And I know that we all have stories like these of how God used others in our lives to share truth, and of people who were brave enough to talk to us about Jesus and who lived sincere Christian lives before us. I'm going to end this session by reading the entire first chapter of 1 Peter in the ESV version, and in our following sessions, I'll continue explaining a bit more about Faith Mission's foundation of prayer and revival, along with a more detailed testimony of how God worked in my family and how he saved me. Along with that, we'll be studying in 1 and 2 Peter, so we have a lot of ground to cover, and what a privilege it is to get to journey together this weekend. Some have described 1 Peter and 2 Peter as a highway to holiness. So much good teaching for our hungry souls. I need him. We need him. We need truth. And I hope that during these days together, we can allow God to work in our hearts and that we can seek to remind each other of his goodness and grace. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to remember about our good God. My prayer is that during this retreat, we as women would really experience his grace together, and that along the way, we will grow in our knowledge of him and choose to become women full of faith, strong in the Lord, full of courage and resolve, strength of character, steadfast and endurance, that we will trust him more. We live in a fallen world where we face challenging circumstances every single day. Women full of faith and trust find their strength in God and won't give up. We will choose to fix our eyes on Jesus and believe God and his word. My mom had a favorite saying, and it was posted on our fridge door for many, many, many years. And maybe you've heard it too. It goes like this: God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I love it. Ladies, we become what we behold. So let's behold our God together and learn all we can. May God bless the reading of his word. Please follow along in your Bibles. I'll be reading from the ESV Bible. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which is modern-day Turkey, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. In closing, I want to say again, just what a privilege it is to have a God who loves us so much that he would give us the Bible, the living word, to allow us to be able to not only get to know him through his word, but to be transformed by his word. We are all so individual in how we spend time with him and in how we study his word. But this evening, I just want to leave you with one of the ways that I like to use. In daily communion, as I spend time in daily communion with God and in preparing our own hearts for revival, there's a little method that I like to apply personally when studying God's word. It's upward, inward, and outward. So after I read the word like we just did, first I look upward. What did I just learn about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit? As I think about and meditate on God, it leads me into a time of thanksgiving and worship. Next is inward. What is God saying to me personally? Is the Holy Spirit convicting me in any area of my life? That leads me to confession and repentance, seeking to make sure that there is nothing between my soul and my Savior. And finally, outward. What is God asking me to do? How can I best obey him and glorify him in light of everything that I just learned? This should lead to becoming more like Jesus and by his grace, holy living as I trust and obey God according to his word. It should also lead to evangelism. As our hearts fill with love for God and overflow, as our hearts fill with love for God, the overflow is love for others. And to truly love others, we will want to tell them about Jesus and how he can save them from their sin and judgment. We want to remind people of God's love for them. So please, ladies, I just want to ask you in your quiet time, maybe tomorrow morning and any time throughout this weekend that you have some time, just be reading through 1 and 2 Peter. And just ask God to speak to your heart and pray through these chapters, because we're going to spend some time there. So thank you so much for listening tonight. You've all been awesome.